Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri in for Jane Lindholm. Today, students of color make up about 12% of UVM's enrollment. That's triple what it was at the turn of the century. UVM, Middlebury, and other schools have deliberately undertaken programs that would diversify its students' population. We're going to look at how that was achieved and if these programs have had any benefits for these schools and the students who go there. Joining me for this discussion is Rick Dalton. He is the president and CEO of CFES Brilliant Pathways. It's a nonprofit that works with schools, colleges, and other partners to help students find a path to college. And Jadine Santos. She is a graduate of UVM, now works as a student services advisor at the university's Mosaic Center for Students of Color. Jadine came to UVM as part of a partnership that was developed between UVM and Christopher Columbus High School in the Bronx that she attended. I want to welcome you both to Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
All right, Rick, you started thinking about diversity when you were at Middlebury College working as the director of enrollment planning. What did you do there, and how has that program at Middlebury changed or expanded through the years?
Well, I can't tell you a great deal about where Middlebury is right now, but I can tell you that 35 years ago, as director of enrollment planning, we looked around at our competitors and saw that the big difference between Middlebury and, say, Amherst and Williams and Wesleyan and Dartmouth was diversity. Middlebury had 3% of its students being youth of color, and those other institutions had three or four times that number, that percentage. And we realized that to be a truly great institution, diversity was part of what needed to happen. And one of the first things that I did was to create a partnership between Middlebury College and DeWitt Clinton in the Bronx. And that partnership was hugely successful, not only in bringing students of color to Middlebury, but also changing the perception of Middlebury in the eyes of those who sent young people to college. It also had a huge impact on Middlebury College in terms of retention and helping faculty and staff and other students and members of the community, the Middlebury community itself, understand what it took to create diversity and to make sure that students didn't just arrive on campus, but that they ended up with a degree 4 years later. The Middlebury College DeWitt Clinton High School partnership was so successful that other colleges asked for help in creating their own partnerships, and we were able to help more than 100 colleges set up partnerships with high schools. Now, the Middlebury partnership began 35 years ago, and in 1999, a good friend of mine who was part of CFES Brilliant Pathways, a high school principal in New York City, came to me and said, I'm the principal of Christopher Columbus High School. I went to Columbus. I've seen it change tremendously. We want to be the best school in the Bronx. We need a college partner. I was living in Vermont. Actually, I'd left Middlebury College to start CFES Brilliant Pathways. And I contacted folks at University of Vermont. And it was through Rich Tarrant that I got in touch with the then provost at UVM, and he sent the dean of admissions, Don Hahnemann, to a meeting that CFES was holding. And I introduced Don to the principal of Christopher Columbus. And that introduction took place in the year 2000. And since then, 400 students have come from the Bronx to the University of Vermont.
UVM. And Rick, is that how this program works, that you kind of marry a high school to a university? Is that the idea?
Yes, Rick, is one of the ways that it works. And the partnerships that were created, again, many of them were hugely successful, but none was more successful than the UVM Christopher Columbus Partnership.
Now, Jay Dean, you came to UVM because of this program.
Yes. What
did you know about Vermont and UVM before you came here?
Before I started talking to the admissions staff when they were visiting our high school, I knew nothing about Vermont. Like, I had no clue where Vermont really was. Like, it's not a state that I ever thought of before. And then when they told us about the program and invited us up to campus of October, so, like, before we even applied for any schools, we were invited to come get a personal look at campus and stay for 2 nights, get hosted in a student's room, take a class, get a really good look at UVM so that we know if this is a good place for us. And so once I saw it, I was sold on campus.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, so why? It wasn't the fall colors, but what was it about UVM in Vermont that said to you, yeah, this is where I want to go to school?
I love the people. Like, people here are friendly, and I'm coming from the Bronx, New York, where people are friendly if they know you or if they're family, but not strangers on the street. And my first experience, like, walking on South Prospect Street was a stranger saying hello. And then that happened again and again, and then folks started holding doors for me, and that was a new experience. And then I also realized it's really clean, and the air smells fresh, and it felt like a good place to go and get away from the city and study.
Wow, these are some of the things we forget about the longer we're here, as opposed to being in a city. I moved here from Miami, Florida, and these same things kind of are my reaction to Vermont. Rick, in those early days of the UVM program, did you have any doubts or fears that this would be successful?
Well, it's like an airplane. You get on the airplane and you hope it's going to take off. There won't be any mechanical issues or other problems. But there were great people, and there was support throughout the institution. There was also support from JetBlue that provided 300 tickets a year so that the Bronx and Burlington were no longer 5 hours apart. They were 45 minutes apart. The way that University of Vermont approach this partnership, and the high school as well, Christopher Columbus, told me early on that it was going to be successful. But leadership changes in institutions on a regular basis, and you hope that the commitment will continue. And I want to say to that in that this current iteration, President Sullivan has been an extraordinary supporter of diversity and this partnership.
Jadine, did you have fears or doubts back then? What, 2001?
2001. UVM was 4% students of color at the time. So I was concerned that I'd feel like a fish out of water. And I was. And so I had to go through that experience of being a first generation college student on an extremely predominantly white campus. And I was also like from a city. So I had a lot of different transitions when I first started.
Well, what aspects of the experience actually worked for you?
People. It always goes back to the people. I loved my faculty. They cared. They took the time to get to know me and mentor me. And then graduate students and doctoral students and staff. There were so many people who were there to listen if I was there to talk. Like, my problem was I wasn't willing to talk initially. But once I started opening up, like, so much more like resources came my way.
Well, what were the difficulties that you faced as a UVM student in 2001?
Academics. Like, for sure, my first semester, I struggled academically. I didn't know what I was getting involved in. And the classes I took in high school, I just took continued of those courses in college. And then they were extremely hard, nothing what I was experiencing. As in, I thought I was really smart and really ready until I started my first semester at UVM and then realized I need to backtrack a bit and figure out a good major for me and figure out, like, how do I make this work?
Rick Dalton, why do you think that fostering diversity on a college campus is beneficial? I would say you probably do because this is something your organization is dedicated to.
Well, again, diversity has changed. Remember that across this country today, there are more young people of color than there are their white peers. And this is for the first time ever. So we have a majority minority. And if young people in higher education aren't prepared for a work experience, a social experience, they aren't prepared to talk with people who are different, to work with people who are different, they aren't going to be successful. It's going to be a very short term of success for those young people. So having young people on college campuses where there is diversity is really about preparing them for the next step, preparing them for a world. We live in a world, certainly the United States, and we look beyond, that is all about diversity. And our country is changing. Our country has changed. It's not tomorrow. It's happened today. And our people, young people, need to be ready. They need to be ready in terms of the workplace. And certainly colleges and universities, if they look to the populations, who's out there, who's going to be students on their campus, it's going to be more than young people who are from Caucasian backgrounds.
How do you choose schools, the high schools and the colleges, to be part of CFES Brilliant Pathways?
Rick, we have worked in Vermont, by the way, for many years, and our supporter, our funder, moved to Hawaii, so now they're supporting our work in Hawaii. We're very anxious to get back to Vermont. We're looking for funding to make that happen. And once we have the funding, whether from a corporation or an individual, then we look to schools that want to change the status quo, that want more of their students to go on to college, that want more of their students to become career ready.
Jay Dean, you're now part of UVM in the administration.
Yes.
You work there. So has UVM maintained or expanded its commitment to a diverse student body?
I say absolutely. UVM has a huge focus on bringing in more students of color, staff of color, faculty, and then keeping them there. So how do we make everyone happy on this campus? Like, it's still predominantly white. It's about 12% students of color. But what other things can we do? And UVM is taking those steps. They have the President's Commission on Inclusive Excellence, where they're looking at all areas of campus and ways that we can improve. And then all the colleges need to show reports on what they have been doing. They have to prove it now. So now it's not just talk. Like, we have to see the changes being made on campus.
Well, that number is kind of hovering around 12% for a while, students of color. Is that the best UVM can do, or what needs to be done to push the needle?
I think we need to keep focusing on our partnerships and putting more money, time, and attention, because we can show that worked. That has brought in a lot of students of color. These students have families back home in the same cities. They're looking at UVM as well because of a partnership student. So if that's what works for us, then we need to continue like adding more resources to that area.
So the partnership with Christopher Columbus still continues today. Is that correct?
Well, Christopher Columbus is no longer a school that exists.
Oh.
But there are – it's Christopher Columbus campus, and there are about five or six different high schools within that building, and they have partnerships with a few of those schools, and then schools also in Manhattan and other schools in the Bronx, and then they spread to different cities. So now there's a Chicago partnership and a Philadelphia partnership, and I know they're working on looking for more.
There were 13 of you from Columbus High who came to UVM in 2001. Was there a bond that existed between you all?
Absolutely. We were family, like instant family. Even if we didn't know each other well back in high school, that's all we had. We had each other and the few students that were here from the year before, which was even less. And so we all lived together, hung out together. We all were involved in the cultural organizations, and we supported each other's organization because we needed to make sure we were seen and felt comfortable. And I mean, it was a really different time, if you can imagine.
Do you still keep in touch with any of them today?
I do. They're my closest friends, yeah.
Wow. Rick, this is a question I think that many people are asking today about a college education. There are rising costs, rising student debt. So is a college education really the right path to a higher standard of living?
Well, Rick, if you look at the jobs that are being created today, the high-paying new jobs all require some college. Now, it doesn't mean a four-year college necessarily. It may not even mean a two-year college. It may be a license, but a post-secondary educational experience needs to be part of one's plan. If a young person looks to achieve a standard of living where they can likely buy a house, buy a car, college needs to be part of the plan for, I believe, any student that's looking for a brilliant future.
Jay Dean, is that how you see it?
I see a lot of growth that happens in college. And so they come in as children and then they leave as adults. So a lot happens within those 4 to 5 years that they're in school with us. They're learning about themselves and what they really care about, their identities that they hold. And I don't feel like that would happen in just going to like work a job right after you graduate from school. It's being there with that kind of environment and the conversations that we're always having about yourself, like really thinking about when yourself and what's important to you.
How do you think Vermont shaped you and influenced you during those 4 years at UVM?
I feel like I started turning into a Vermonter over time. Like, I cared about different things. Like, so I feel like I was a bit more vain in high school. I cared about the way I looked and the way I dressed, and that no longer became important being in Vermont because people want to care about what's inside of you and they want to hear your thoughts and your feelings and also just about the environment. So I care a lot more about the physical environment that I live in because of Vermont.
And joining us now is Dave Amsden, a coordinator for academic services at the Community College of Vermont's Winooski campus, to talk about the Vermont State College System's efforts to ensure diversity on its campuses. Dave, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, welcome. So, Dave, first of all, how do you define diversity as it pertains to the Vermont State Colleges? And then what kind of diversity do you actually see?
Sure. So I feel as though we see diversity in a number of different ways. 65% of the students who attend the Community College of Vermont are first-generation students. That's 50% of the Vermont State College student body is first-generation students. At CCV Winooski, we are seeing a pretty dramatic increase in the number of students who identify as racial and ethnic minority. We also see a drastic increase in the number of students who self-report as non-native speakers of English or English language learners. Both of those numbers have doubled at CCV Winooski in the past 10 years.
And then does the system have goals, and are they different for the individual schools and CCV?
So CCV absolutely has goals around diversity. The majority of those goals are connected to providing excellent service to the students who are enrolling here. So the Community College of Vermont, 95% of our students are Vermonters. And so when you look at the dramatic increase that CCV Winooski has seen in students of color, doubling in the past 10 years, right now approximately 22% of our student population self-report as students of color. So when you look at that number and we look at the fact that it's increasing, we want to make sure that we are not just enrolling students, but we are providing support services for students who are enrolling. That takes sort of two different paths. One is making sure that diversity is part of the fabric of our school, and the other one is making sure that we have targeted supports and services for these diverse populations.
Well, Dave, we got this note from Tyler who posted, "I'm curious what Vermont colleges are doing to recruit and prepare students from the diverse populations in Vermont, notably Burlington and Winooski and other communities too. There are dozens of languages spoken in these schools and students from a myriad of cultural backgrounds. Perhaps colleges could step up and somehow help close the achievement gaps among English language learners and recruiting students from the local community." So how are you trying to achieve what Tyler is suggesting?
We're very aligned with Tyler's goals. We are building stronger connections with the area high schools to make sure that students recognize the option of a low-cost community college experience. We are increasing our academic supports for English language learners and folks who identify as non-native speakers of English. We have a series of center-wide trainings going on right now at CCV Winooski that include academic staff and academic advisors, that include our financial aid counselors as well as our administrative staff. We have developed a new course called English for Academic Purposes that is specifically targeted toward English language learners. The purpose of the class is absolutely growth in terms of written, spoken, and reading comprehension of the English language. But in addition, it's about the systems of higher education in the United States and navigating those systems in terms of language that's used, degrees that are earned in the United States, and the progression of education.
And Dave, are there specific support programs available for these students once they get enrolled? Because we know just getting a student in isn't the answer.
We totally agree with you. Access is part of our mission. Student success is another major part. Again, these are academic supports such as increased and specific supports for English language learners in our Learning Center and academic supports. They're also about increasing students' sense of belonging in our school. We have an increased connection to the Refugee and Immigrant Service Providers Network in Chittenden County. We've been teaming with the Vermont Refugee Resettlement Program around orientations for new Americans and arrivals, just getting used to and understanding what higher education in the United States looks like. We've had public philosophy discussions hosted by myself and Steve Viner from Middlebury College on immigration, part of the Public Philosophy Week in Burlington. We've hosted immigration rights sessions with Vermont Legal Aid, and we continue to strengthen our connections with area high schools.
Dave Amsden is a coordinator for academic services at CCV's Winooski campus. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
Jadine, I want to follow up on that idea of support received once on campus. So what is being done at UVM now, and how does that differ from when you attended a decade or so ago to support these students?
Yeah, our department has expanded exponentially since then. There were about 2 staff members in the office, and they didn't have a dedicated student staff or student advisor there. And now there's my position. Our assistant director gets to focus on student services as well. Then we have a leadership development staff member, and then we have someone who does a bridge summer bridge program for incoming first-year students of color. And then they also work on working with alumni and connecting them there, and then making sure that they are retained throughout their time here at UVM. And that's just our department alone. There's other departments doing amazing work as well.
And Rick, how does CFES work with the high school students that you support to prepare for college, from academics to things like completing financial aid forms, which can be mystifying?
Well, Rick, you've hit the nail on the head. Certainly paying for college is huge, and helping young people and families understand how to pay for college. I mean, there are many ways to do it, but we have to make sure that our young people understand the difference between loans and scholarships and grants, and they need to be thinking about that process, not when they're in high school, but when they're in middle school or even before. We help young people by making sure that every one of our scholars, and we've worked with 100,000 kids, 95% have gone on to higher education, and more than 80% of those young people have graduated. So every one of our students has a mentor. We help our students develop what we call the essential skills. Some people call these soft skills or non-cognitive skills. We think that in doing that, you demean them. Young people need help in developing grit and perseverance, agility, networking, leadership, teamwork. So that's a very important part of what we do, so that students are ready not only to succeed in college and to be ready for college, but to succeed in today's work world.
Let's take a call from Mary, who's calling from Winchester, New Hampshire. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
This has been touched upon a little bit already, but I just wanted to put this point in the mix. I do a lot of this work in schools and universities and colleges across northern New England. Excuse me. And one of the things that we talk a great deal about is how to be really thoughtful about bringing students, about working to increase diversity in predominantly white institutions and in white communities. And my experience is that sometimes the institution has great intention around bringing in students to increase whatever the diversity is that they're thinking about increasing or working towards, but that the community and the infrastructure of the school is not really ready for that, because most of our schools and institutions are really based on a pretty Western Euro perspective, where white culture is really the dominant narrative. And so I just felt like I wanted to just get that in the mix, because diversity can be a great thing, And yet sometimes we're not always clear about what the impact is. And nationally, we know that there is some real concern about retention rates for students of color, particularly when they're brought into predominantly white institutions.
Excellent question, Mary. I'll leave that for either one of you or both of you. How does the school prepare to make sure that this is a positive experience? I mean, you came in 2001, Jadine, and I'm not sure if UVM was ready. But how do the two of you see an institution preparing to make sure they are ready for that more diverse student population?
Well, in 2001, I don't feel that they were prepared to have a large group of students of color enter campus, and then we all face culture shock when we arrive there. And no one was really prepared to talk to us about that experience, so we only had peers to go to. But now there's so many more peers, but then there's staff and faculty and just all the upper administration. Like, everyone's aware that it's not easy to come to UVM if you've come from an urban area, especially. It's harder. A lot of our students of color who come from like predominantly white communities, they do great. They don't have that like culture shock coming to campus. They might have other issues, but not culture shock in the same way. But we are there. There's a lot of staff of color who are there to kind of make sure our students are taken care of and they have all of their needs met. And we go above and beyond reaching out to them. Lots and lots of outreach, actually. So try to get to talk to us face-to-face so they can see a person of color and they can see that we're here, we did well, we're, you know, surviving, and so they can too. And we use a lot of our own like stories and personal experiences. See, a lot of staff on color are also alums of the university, so we understand what it's like.
Rick Dalton, what does CFES do to make sure a school is ready?
Well, we do a lot of what I mentioned, developing the essential skills, mentors, exposing our students to kids, older kids who look like them, who have been successful in college and can tell their stories. We create an alumni network. We have an alumni network and an advisory board, a mentoring group that can help our young people who are on college campuses, someone to reach out to. Well, one of the things I want to say about University of Vermont, and I believe that the commitment really needs to be at the top. We work with more than 200 colleges currently, and the commitment from President Sullivan at the University of Vermont is absolutely extraordinary. We have 30 of our CFES scholars who are currently in the freshman class. The president had a luncheon for these young people shortly after they arrived, and when these young people gathered at the luncheon, they weren't there to hear President Sullivan talk about his experience or UVM. What he did is he listened. He said, what can we do to make your experience here at UVM even better? So I think when you have commitment from the top, and you know, we try to guide our young people toward institutions, higher ed institutions, that are like UVM. And there aren't a whole lot of UVMs in terms of this commitment to the diversity that are going to help our young people be successful, because it's not enough for a young person to go to college. They need to get that degree.
Rick, we got this question from Citizen Jones. He emailed, does diversity really mean only racial diversity? Is there no effort for language, cultural, gender, or geographic diversity?
Diversity, of course, means many, many things. And for us as an organization, CFES Brilliant Pathways, all of our students are from low-income households. They are receiving free and reduced lunch while in high school, middle school, or they qualify at least, so they are low-income. Now, we believe that diversity means many things. I mean, it's the obvious diversity, of course, is skin color on college campuses, but it means so many other things, and that's a great question.
Well, one concern Vermonters have is the ability for Vermont students to matriculate at UVM. Higher out-of-state tuition can be an impetus for accepting less Vermont students. So does a program trying to increase the student body diversity also have this effect where less Vermonters are getting into UVM? Jadine, first you.
Yeah, I don't believe so. We want like Vermont students to go to our university. Like, a lot of Vermonters don't go on to college, and we really want them to know that UVM is the school for them. It is their university. The problem is a lot of Vermonters don't want to stay in Vermont. They've lived here their whole lives, and they want something bigger. And so that's why we don't see as much like Vermont applications. But we have the Catamount Commitment Program that is specifically for Vermonters to help them get into UVM, help them with all the barriers in the way, and provide them with extra support, just like I'm doing for students of color.
Rick, I want to ask you, so what's left to be done? Where does your organization need to expand to get to the goals that you have?
Rick, we have very ambitious goals. In the 27 years since we have worked with young people, as I mentioned, we've helped 100,000 kids go to college, again, all from low-income households. Our goal in the next 2 years is to triple the number of young people we serve. And one of the areas where we're targeting is Vermont. And Vermont has this wonderful initiative to have 70% of its citizens with college degrees by 2025. And as you know, Vermont has a very high, and that they're actually in the top 10% in terms of high school graduation, but in the bottom 20% in terms of college going. Leaders in Vermont know that if more citizens don't have college degrees, four-year, two-year certificates, that there will be jobs that they cannot fill. And if the status quo continues, there will be 132,000 jobs that they can't fill by as soon as 2025. So we want to play a role in working with Vermont. We want to work in the North Country. There are lots of programs in urban areas. We need to make sure that rural communities have these opportunities as well.
That's Rick Dalton. He's the president and CEO of CFES Brilliant Pathways, a nonprofit that works with schools, colleges, and other partners to help students find a path to college. And we also were talking with Jadine Santos, graduated from UVM, now works as a student services advisor at the university's Mosaic Center for Students of Color. Jadine came to UVM as part of the partnership between UVM and Christopher Columbus High School in the Bronx. Thank you both for coming in today and talking to us.
Thank you for having us.